So thank you very much.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Yes.
新年快乐。
Yes. 恭喜发财。
Yes.
I make my own tea at home.
Oh, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
What is
that? I use a few fruits. Mm-hmm. I use the goji and the date, the Chinese red date. I also use the dragon eye, the fruit.
It's delicious.
It's supposed to be very good for, especially for winter, like warm up. That's what
so now we're warmed up, ready for your podcast, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Yes.
I know you have been so busy.
We both are.
Project.
Yeah.
And thank you for the invite to your the Nostalgia Symposium last week.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Did you do that often? Like you collaborate with other scholars, students of other universities?
Yep. So just for just a recap.
Right.
The Nostalgia Symposium is an annual event
okay. That
we've organized now for 4 years in a row.
Wow.
And the collective is called NOST Again, N-O-S-T.
Lost Again.
N-O-S-T-A-G-A-I-N, NOST Again.
NOST Again.
Yep.
Okay.
So NOST Again Network is a collection of 79 artists and scholars outside and within Montreal who explore terms of nostalgia. So we've
That's
done it for
amazing.
4 years now.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to meet some other scholars from Ontario.
Of course, yeah.
And a very nice chat with them. And you also invited the artists.
Yes.
And remember, there are two artists. I was trying to talk to them, but, you know, there's a small line there.
Yep.
So I didn't get a chance. But what did they do there, the two artists?
Which one are we talking about? Because there were 11 artists, actually.
All artists. I remember there were two sitting in the back. And people try to talk to them.
Oh, the sketch artists.
Yes.
So as part of our usual symposiums, as you know, Concordia and Canada is known for what we call research creation.
Okay.
And research creation sort of diverges from sort of the Western or European model, where traditional scholarship is usually you choose a topic of study, you do the field work, and then you make the thesis.
That's right.
Whereas in Canada, especially at Concordia, there are two researchers called Kim Sawchuk and Owen Chapman. And these two people wrote a paper in the early 2000s saying that research sometimes captures something that cannot be written.
Exactly.
There's materiality. So
That's true. Research creation
is something that's key at Concordia. And what we do at the symposium is we normally have panels in the morning, but also a research creation artist.
Okay.
And what we found that you talked about, the two artists, the bridge in the middle, was a gallery space that we make. It was a sort of like a cafe nostalgia.
That's right.
And these two...
Yes, I did feel the atmosphere, almost like cafe.
Yes,
the
and these two...
Very nice.
These two artists, right, they came from UQAM, University of Quebec-Montreal. And they basically sketched the person across them in their own style.
Okay.
And so the idea for that whole cafe space was to say, when you are sketched by somebody, capturing your moment right now, is this moment that they have special because there's only one in the world? Or is it because you had a connection with the artist? So when we say something is nostalgic, is it because it's old or is it because there's social engagement and it got people to think?
Okay, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Actually, I as soon as I entered Concordia, somehow I just got influenced by this artistic, you know, elements from your project and other people's talks.
Yes.
This is the first time, you know, I love to integrate some artistic project to present my research in order, because as you said, there's so much you can't really deliver to the audience by writing. The words are so limited.
Yes.
Any languages, the words, you know, the power of the words are is limited. And there are many other ways to deliver, like through sound, through performance, through painting, through, you know, many different forms of artistic expression. And we need that, right?
Yes.
To build that connection and also to build more channels to deliver the meaning.
Yeah.
Deliver the things you want to say and you want to express and communicate with the audience.
And yourself, you have a sort of a performance aspect to your research too, right? Like you're not just only looking at the indigenous village from where you come from, right?
Right.
In China, but also you look at the performance aspect that also shares the rituals of Taoism, right? And it's a different thing of you giving a lecture about Taoism where you're from,
right?
It you receive as the audience. You take notes and you sort of are there to remember. But when you transport us into sort of a performance space, I think that forum gets people to really engage with that idea. And that's instead true. Of learning to remember, they learn to understand. Because there's a lot of empathy in performance.
Yeah.
Because you have to become something else that you're not used to.
Right.
Right?
Because most of the time, the feelings, the emotion, you really can't express just by the written words.
Yeah.
It's especially the academic words, you know, it's very refined, very different language.
Yeah.
But that's what we need in the academic world. But somehow about that type of work, the production from the academic work, can really express that, the feeling, the emotion.
Yeah.
But researching religion in Taoism, so this type of research must come with different forms in order to better to deliver that meaning, that feeling, that expression, get people really get connected.
Yes.
Connect with it, not just with text, but connect with more, for example, from sound, from performance, from colors, from costume, from dance, from music, because they're so rich, you know, especially this local, religious practices.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do, trying to learn
but
more.
You yourself, when we talked earlier, right? Because I think we met each other earlier because you had reached out and, I'm part of the a public scholars program at Concordia.
Yeah.
And you said that, hey, I'm kind of interested in sort of your own research in nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found was surprising for both of us was two things, I think.
Yes.
Number one was our openness to creativity as a means of thinking and engaging with research,
that's
or recognizing that research is everywhere around us.
That's right.
And the second thing,
we reached the same page.
Yes, we did.
That understanding.
And the second thing that we found to deepen that understanding, I think, was sort of our inclinations, right? Our sort of drive, our mission to go beyond just the traditional academic training.
That's true.
Because you yourself very much studied for the exam, right?
Mm-hmm.
In China, and I very much studied in that sort of everything was about the grade.
Right.
But when we came here, we found that actually as much as knowing things is important, you've got to also be able to do things with people.
Right.
Because what's outside of the book is just as important as what's in it.
True. Well, I do appreciate, my basic education in China.
Yes.
Because all of this, very solid, rigorous training did, help me with a strong memorizing, strong, analyzing skills. But at the same time, I moved to Canada 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I went to McGill for my second master, actually, and then work here a few years. And now I'm in Concordia doing PhD. And all this life experience just reminded me that if I can combine all different forms, or I can integrate more forms into my research, my research will be richer, more interesting, more fun.
Yes.
I don't know, when I get older, I start feeling like being fun is important.
Oh, I guess we're both very old now. Oh, oh my gosh. You better tell your viewers don't have fun, otherwise they go to the doctor soon,
That's right.
But why do you find yourself that as you get older, it's more important to have fun? What do you mean by fun? I'm curious by that word.
That's a very interesting question, I often get interesting questions from you.
And I get interesting answers from you.
And to, help me to delve into it, think about it. What's been fun? I'm a very serious person.
Mm.
I look very serious too.
Yes.
I do serious stuff,
yes.
projects in my life. So I, did all the rigorous study, research, projects, publication, all of those. But then I start thinking, how much of this work, this arduous work, how much this work can contribute to the world, and how many people can really reach to, and how many people really get benefited from my work. First of all, maybe not many people. And second of all, even there's a small group of people, like my work, but how much is really get benefited from that? So sometimes I feel maybe just a tiny percentage of my work really reached out or benefit some people. But what's the best way, I can spread that, deliver it in a more interesting way, more accessible, and more, a little bit entertaining, to get people into my work, then I can tell them more.
Yes.
But in a fun way.
Yes.
People like, I enjoy it. It's not like, I have to try efforts to understand her work. I have to set up my 10, 2 hours to read her work. But I want to give people a channel to say, I want to learn her work.
Yes.
But this is such a fun time for me.
Yes.
This is kind of like a, this kind of treat, you know, after my whole day work, I'm going to read Elizabeth's work, to watch her videos, to learn about her talk about Taoism. But this is like a treat of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I want to do, but not superficial, you know, fun. I'm not, you know, talking about different level of fun, but some fun, but it's fun, it's entertaining, it's interesting, but at the same time, that fun piece of work will be able to deliver the profound meanings, the profound things, and can be also easily applied to our lives. Philosophical, but practical. Most people talk about philosophy, it's like, those people have nothing better to do, that's why they do philosophy, but that's not true. So philosophy can also be applied, you know, to a very practical way, directly.
Yeah.
If we deliver that in a good way, interesting way, and in order to deliver those profound ideals, interesting way, actually, we have to do a lot of work.
Yes.
Fully grasp the ideals, the meaning, and then deliver in your fun way. So that's something I feel like when I get older, I thinking about, you know, what's the best way and fun way to reach to my audience, to make my work more useful, beneficial for the world, for people who are interested. So that's why I come to say, you know, I'm a ethnic, I was born into the ethnic group in China, Tujia, in Southwest China. So we have and I went to university with 55 minority groups.
Yeah.
So I had a strong influence from the Chinese ethnic culture. Their ideology, their lifestyle, especially the art.
Yes.
The dance, the music, the costume, the expression, the folk stories, folk music. So that just gave me a strong influence. But it's like buried there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I never be able to express it.
Yeah.
But now in this research in Concordia,
yeah,
like you told me, I'm in the best place to use this, you know, artistic expression for my research. And I feel, you know, there's so much I can offer. Just because my life, because of this, you know, how the unique identity and this unique life experience,
yes,
I'd be able to promote, you know, this artistic expression and integrate into my research. I think I can make it very fun for the audience. That's what I hope.
I'd say the best thing to do is not to make your research relatable, but to have it be natural. And when
natural,
you talk about fun,
relatable.
There's this really, I come from a background of sociology, and I work in game studies. So
right.
I talk, you know, game studies as much as there's video games and board games. As a sociologist who understands why people do what they do in society, when we talk about game studies, we're talking about play. How people play.
I like that word, play.
Because when we are together, we're not so much faking a performance, but there's sort of an invisible ping pong between you and I. You say something and I hold something and I come back to that, then I throw it back to you. There's always play going on.
Right, and like back, push, back and forth.
Absolutely, and play is also very much giving a structure. You think of a classroom, right? It's a room of a performance where everybody plays their roles.
Right.
The teacher plays their role by speaking. The student plays their role by listening, being attentive. If somebody is not playing the right role, they may get their friend to go, hey, wake up. Or the teacher, when they want the students to now speak, you play the role of silence. You don't say anything and you watch. Then somebody will. So there's always play. And there's this really famous sociologist called Bernard Suits, like a suit. And he says that all of us, you and I, have grown up to learn how to work. But when it comes to play, we don't have to learn how to play.
Exactly, just
all
naturally
of us do.
Comes out.
So when we are sort of migrating our research into much more freer forums, right? Artistic forums, performance forums, we sort of let people play with our research. And because play is something quite inherent, right? Something that not only if ethnic minority, ethnic majority, everybody has that play, the child in them. So when you let them be a little unserious to a serious topic, then you get real natural interest.
Yeah, the
instead
connection.
Of,
you just feel the connection natural.
Because it's natural. People want to engage instead of making something relatable. Because making something relatable can be superficial. right? And sometimes on LinkedIn, you see, mm-hmm. oh, I tripped on a rock today. Mm-hmm. I learned how to be resourceful. Hashtag grit, hashtag grad life, right?
I'm stretched or nuns.
But the natural part, I think, is what is missing. Mm-hmm. And that's the trickiest part in researchers, I find, right. of all stripes, to make it relatable. No. Natural. Play. Allow people to play with their
research. Allow people to play. So we kind of like create an environment, create a space, I mean mentally, philosophically, mm-hmm. and create this topic, this ideals.
Yes.
Allow them to play. Not just come here seriously talk about, you know, talk about ideology, talk about philosophy, talk about academic matters, but allow them, give them a space, come in to play.
Yes.
And that connection would just be so natural
yeah.
and proactive,
yes.
energetic too. Because it's not like, oh, I'm going to spend 2 hours read this book. But it's like, okay, I'm going to play.
Yes.
But with all those knowledge I already have,
mm-hmm.
with the ambition I'm going to contribute.
Yes.
But I'm going to play that.
But it takes a lot of work.
A lot of work to do that.
Yes, to create mm-hmm. a form of play.
Exactly.
The person has to be very serious before.
True.
Because you're setting up. Right? You're setting up the stage. You know mm-hmm. how things work.
Right.
So when people come, they can feel natural.
Yeah.
But you have to know
exactly.
your four walls first.
Exactly.
So there's a nice balance.
There's a lot of work.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
order
yeah.
to reach to that point.
Yeah.
See, maybe there's work, you know, you go to conference, deliver the presentation, write books. That's a lot of effort too.
Yes.
But in order to make it playful and naturally connect with people, but at the same time, deliver the profound ideals
yes.
and that's next level.
That is next level.
Like you have to go through very serious work,
yes.
and then you use all those, you know, your life experience, mm-hmm. your personality, mm-hmm. and the artistic, you know, research
yes.
methods, then reach next level and make the serious topic playful.
Yes.
And build that natural connection.